We are going to continue on in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we come now to worship over your word. All of our life is worship, and as we read and study and preach and listen, it's all part of our worship and all part of our honoring to you. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open and ready to hear what your word says. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So last week we started a chapter in the Bible called the Faith Hall of Fame. And in this chapter you have a listing of people who stepped out in faith, or they walked in faith with the Lord. And it's really a kind of a synopsis of the Old Testament. So if you want a quick synopsis of the Old Testament, read Hebrews chapter 11. But it still doesn't get you out of reading the whole Old Testament. Okay, so read the whole Old Testament too. But Hebrews chapter 11 just shows God walking through history as people walk along with him. And we saw last week the definition of faith. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Faith is believing and trusting, and it's more than just this general, yeah, I think this is what's going to happen. It's a confident faith, a confident conviction of who God is and what he's doing and what he wants us to do. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a woman that Christy and I knew a number of years ago. And I think I've told this story before, but I'll share it again. Her name was Nicole, and we were going on a mission trip to Haiti. And we were going from Boston to Miami and stopping in Miami and then flying from Miami to Haiti. And so we got on our flight ready to go, and we're ready to head down there. And Nicole was a late addition to our team, so she did not get on the same flight from Boston to Miami. So she was meeting us in Miami, and then we were all flying over there together. Well, our initial flight to Miami was delayed on the runway. And we ended up getting down there too late, and we missed the connecting flight. So we landed in Miami, and we sprinted through the airport from one gate to the other. And if you've ever been to Miami's airport, it's huge. So we're sprinting to the other end, and we missed it by like 10 or 15 minutes. And we're thinking, oh, what are we going to do? And we ended up staying over the night and going over the next day. But after a few minutes of trying to figure out what are we going to do, we had this thought that went through our mind. Where's Nicole? Like, why isn't she here? And it occurred to us, and this was before everybody had cell phones, we could contact each other, we realized she got on the plane to Haiti. She was an American woman who doesn't speak the language, who had no idea who our contacts were, and who had no idea where she would be staying in Haiti. And she got on the plane. At that moment, our team prayed for Nicole fervently for a little while. And we ended up getting there the next day, and meeting us there in the place where we were supposed to be was Nicole. It turns out she got on the plane and she went over there, and there was another team from the same organization. We didn't know what the timing was going to be. Their flight was delayed, but they ended up in the airport in Port-au-Prince, Haiti at the same time as Nicole, and she recognized that they had the same logo, Hope for the Children, on the bags, and she said, hey, can I go with you guys? And we ended up going to the same place in Haiti. If you want to calculate odds, I'm not an odds calculator, but it'd be a very high number to one that would actually happen. I was the leader of that team, and one of my thoughts coming to Nicole was, I'm so happy to see her, but one of my first thoughts was, are you crazy? Are you, you know, I don't think I said that, but I wanted to say, are you out of your mind that you would do this? And Nicole was a new Christian. Love new Christians. She was just on fire for the Lord. And I said, what were you thinking? And she said, well, I know God wanted me to go to Haiti. I know God loves me. So I got on the plane. All right. So, you know, you might think of that, and what a great encouragement for a new Christian, right? That God is with her. And what could I say to that? I could say, praise God. That's all I could really say to that. But for Nicole, it wasn't necessarily a leap. It wasn't a leap from Miami to Port-au-Prince. She was just doing what God wanted her to do. She was just walking in faith. So she just walked across. It wasn't a leap. She's just doing what Jesus told her. And man, I just still think of that as one of the greatest acts of faith that I've seen in somebody that I've met personally. Just to step out and do that. Some of you might be thinking, crazy, foolish, risky, maybe all those things. But still, a great act of faith. So this week, we're coming to the start of this list of these men and women who served God and were faithful. And we're going to be starting with verse 4. And it wasn't always a big leap of faith, but it was walking with the Lord in faith. So starting with verse 4, it says this. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's start with Abel here. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel were brothers. They were children of Adam and Eve. And they grew up, and one became a rancher, raised animals. One became a farmer, had crops. Okay, Cain was the rancher. Abel was the rancher. And it was time to bring an offering to God to worship God. And Cain brought an animal sacrifice. Abel brought an animal sacrifice. Cain brought some of his crop to be burned on the altar. And it turns out that God was pleased with Abel's animal sacrifice, but not pleased with the offering from the crop. And some people think, well, that's because God wanted an animal sacrifice and not a plant sacrifice. The only thing with that is that God commands in the Old Testament that his people bring grain offerings to be sacrificed. So that wasn't necessarily the case. But if you read through Genesis chapter 4, you'll see a couple different things. One thing that you will see is it says that Abel brought from the firstborn of his animals. He brought the first. Cain brought some. Okay, you see the difference there? There was a different heart there. But ultimately, we don't know exactly why one was pleasing and one was not, except that God knows people's hearts. And God knows what spirit Abel brought his offering. Abel brought his offering out of faith, out of love, and apparently Cain didn't. And so that's why God was pleased with one and not the other. And I want you to think about that as we bring offerings to God, as we serve God. We bring offerings. We have an offering in the middle of every service. And, you know, I don't talk to you about what amount you should bring. In the Old Testament, we learn that a tenth is what God commends, what he wants us to do. Although if you look through the Old Testament, there was actually more that people gave because there are additional offerings. In the New Testament, we read, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But the idea is this. Somebody could bring $20, and another person could bring $20 and put it in the offering, and God could be pleased with one and not the other. It's not about the amount. Remember Jesus commended the woman who brought a couple of little coins, threw a couple pennies in? That's all she had. So Jesus said she gave more than anybody else. So it's really about the heart. One person could give $2,000, and God might not be pleased with that. Another person could give $20, and God could be pleased with that. It's not about the amount. It's about faith. It's about the heart that you bring it with. God sees our heart. And it's not, I'm just not talking about money. I'm talking about service to the Lord. Are we doing it out of faith, or is there another reason? God looks right into our souls, right into our hearts. He knows why we bring what we bring to him. But another thing that I find interesting about Abel here, he's the first one mentioned, is that it didn't turn out great for Abel, right? Cain, his brother, killed him because he was jealous. So think about that. The first person mentioned in this Faith Hall of Fame was a man whose life was cut short by his own brother. So here's a point that I'd like to bring to you today. Just because you step out in faith and act in faith, it doesn't mean good stuff is always going to happen to you. Sometimes life gets harder when you act out in faith. Sometimes there's persecution. Sometimes there's death. Sometimes there's suffering. So just because you step out in faith, it doesn't mean the story always has a happy ending from an earthly point of view. Nicole's story had a happy ending. It was great. But even if it didn't, she still stepped out in faith. She still did what she believed the Lord wanted her to do. And as I was thinking about it this week, I was thinking about the famous missionary from the 20th century, Jim Elliot, who went to South America, and he and his fellow missionaries went to this tribe and went to deliver the message of the gospel. They were called by God. They wanted to serve God. They were on fire for the Lord, and they were killed by the native people. Years later, some of those people came to faith, and it was all part of God's plan. But that was a man who was young, 30s maybe. He died young. And here's another thing that you'll see when you step out in faith and when you do what God wants you to do. People won't always like you. And people might be jealous or people might be annoyed. One person that came to mind to me along these lines, if you know a little bit about football, the quarterback Tim Tebow. He's not playing in the NFL anymore. But very active in his faith, went on mission trips, started a charitable organization. After every game, win or lose, he would talk about Jesus. And if you listen to sports talk radio, and don't, if you don't already, if you do, maybe stop. Okay? I still do, a little bit. If you listen to sports talk radio, people hate him. And if you listen to him, it's all good stuff. Yes, he's out there. Yes, he's outspoken. Yes, he's unafraid to share his faith. But for some reason, people don't like that. But he still does it. But it doesn't always mean good, happy, American dream consequences if you step out in faith. And then you have this other guy, Enoch. Not the most famous character in the Bible, but one of very few people who didn't experience death. It says he walked with the Lord. In the Old Testament, it says he was no more because God took him. Here's a man who walked in faith. And what's interesting about him is he's listed in the lineage. This person was the son of that person, the son of that person. You know how it goes through? This person lived this many years and that many years. He lived the shortest amount of time on this earth out of all those people on that list. But he's commended here for his faith. He walked so closely with the Lord just took him. And, you know, when we think about that, it doesn't mean long life if you have faith. If you have long life, praise God. But think about Jesus. Not a long life on this earth. Unjustly accused, unjustly murdered, executed. So when you do things faithfully, it doesn't always mean an easy life. But what matters is, like Enoch and like Abel, that we please God. That is the goal, to please God. Not to please people, but to do what he says, to do what he wants, and let the results fall where they will. I was watching a movie a couple weeks ago with my kids from the 1980s, and some of you might have seen it. It was a famous movie, Chariots of Fire. And I've realized movies have come a long way, and I found the movie to be kind of slow, a little bit boring, but there was some really good stuff in it. And there was this one scene where the main character, Eric Little, who was a real person, this was based on a true story, he was from Great Britain, Scotland actually, and he ran in the Olympics in 1924. And he's also a missionary. And he and his wife were married and they were headed to China. His parents were missionaries. And his wife wanted him to just give up on this silly running stuff and just go to China. But there's this one scene in the movie where they have kind of a confrontation where he talks her into it, letting him go to the Olympics. And this is what he says. I was going to do it with a Scottish accent, but you wouldn't be able to understand it if I did. So here goes. He said, "I believe God made me for a purpose in China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Running gave him pleasure, but he believed gave God pleasure that he was using that gift. Now, people can look at that and they might say, well, you know what? He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And that was his excuse. But he ends up going to the Olympics, and one of the qualifying races was on a Sunday. And he said, "I'm out." And all the people on the track team and everybody were like, "Are you kidding me? 100 meter, you're going to be the fastest man in the world, you're out? I'm out, I can't run on Sundays." They brought in all these track officials from England. They brought in a member of the royal family to try to talk him into running this preliminary race on a Sunday. And just to summarize it, he said, nope. He wanted to please God. That's all that mattered to him. And so through kind of this change of things, it ended up that they found a spot for him in the 400 meters, and he went ahead and he won a gold medal, not on Sunday. But he stuck to it. It was all about pleasing God. And he was willing to lose his spot, to lose his chance to win a gold medal, because all he wanted to do was please God. So let me ask you this question. Is that what you're most concerned with, pleasing God? Or is it pleasing yourself, or is it pleasing other people? That desire to please people is in all of us, I think, to look good in front of people. But look at what it says in this passage that we just read. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, pleasing God is the goal, and it really starts with faith. So think about the consequences of that statement. You could have two people who are doing this exact same thing, the exact same charitable act. Maybe it's bringing food to the people in Florida or in Texas, something along those lines. One person is doing it out of faith, the other person is not, and I don't know what the reason would be. God is pleased with the person doing it out of faith, but not the other person. Without faith, it says it right here, it is impossible to please God. We cannot please God unless we are doing things out of faith. Good works, good deeds don't save us, don't give us anything in God's eyes unless it's done out of faith in Him. And this is a kind of a hard thing to get our mind around. But it's something that we should understand, because God looks at our heart, not just at the outward things. And I want to show you one more verse from Galatians. And it starts this way. The only thing that counts is. Whenever you see in the verse in the Bible that looks like that, that starts with that sort of a sentence, you really want to underline what comes next, because it must be really important. When Paul writes, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's what pleases God. When we have faith in Him, and that faith gets expressed in love. And it could be this great big leap of faith, but it could be just everyday walking in faith, walking to work, going to work and acting and following the Lord and acting like a Christian and acting like a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe I shouldn't use that word acting. Just walking with Him in front of people, having the courage to do that on a daily basis with the people you work with the people in your family. Having the courage to follow Him in every area of your life, and every morning ask this question, Lord, I want to please You today. What do You want me to do every single day? So summarizing this whole thing today, I want to give you a few things to go home with. One is, having faith and walking in faith does not mean you will have an easy life. It may be more difficult because you have faith. Without faith, this is the second one, it is impossible to please God. We don't please God just by going through the motions, routines, and rituals. We please God when we express our faith in loving actions, when we walk in faith. And really, the third thing to think about is this. The consequences to our faithful actions, they don't really matter. So as you step out in faith and walk in faith and speak in faith, and do everything out of faith that you have in Jesus, the consequences aren't up to you. How people react to you, you can't control that. The events that happen in the world around you, you can't control that. All that you can control is that you walk in faith with Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You that You've given us examples like Abel and Enoch, like missionaries, like people in our lives today who walk in faith. And Lord, I pray that we would also walk in faith. I pray that we would do things that honor You. I pray that we would trust You, even when it might not seem to make sense. I pray that we would do all this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.